Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Upheaval by Matthew Peed, narrated by Romy Nordlinger. Chapter 1. Oberon. Life force rippled through the air as I absorbed the energy from the group of bandits around me. It was the third batch this week, not that I minded. Once the humans were dead, I waved my hand and sent a pulse of my own energy. A few moments later, the bodies started to twitch and then shake harshly as they rose to their feet. Helena moved up next to me on her hell horse, a beast whose hooves were wreathed in fire. Shadows leaked from its eyes and nostrils. "Do you have a magnet?" she asked, her humor at the continued attacks obvious. I couldn't help the laugh that escaped me. "It has been like this for as long as I can remember. Traveling was the worst until I made the Golden Throne. Even as a king, I was attacked on my first trip to inspect the kingdom." "Oh, you're being surprisingly honest today," she said, looking as stated, surprised. "I'm just annoyed by the sun and don't want to deal with you right now." I directed the new undead to join the group in the back.
Thanks to Cyteth, the undead were able to be out in the sun as long as they were with me.
That didn't mean they enjoyed it, though. Not to mention, there was a general decrease to their overall stats. She glanced out from under her parasol.
"I do have to agree with you there. We were traveling to the Kalia Lordship. It was the closest land to the Wandering Labyrinth, even with the mountain range blocking the route. My goal was mercy. It was the crucial part of any plans going forward. Plus, I owed Kalia some payback. Some people might turn the other cheek when hit. But me? I grabbed a club and beat them until they couldn't remember their own name."
"Where's Alessa?" I asked as we got back on the road.
"Scouting with her daywalkers. When I take her to Heisen with me later, it is going to cause quite a stir," Helena replied with a yawn.
"A new noble always causes a stir, be it in mortal courts or the immortal." I had risen through the ranks in a bloody fashion, and many people feared me for it. The lordship I was born in had been run down, and the lord treated his people like slaves. When dozens of women in our village were taken, we could no longer stand by and watch. No one expected a D-rank adventurer to raise an army in the span of 3 months. That was a personal achievement I'd always been proud of, but one that was only due to the noble's own foolishness. A month of bloodshed and death later, we'd finally killed the lord. Of course, I hadn't expected to be thrust onto the throne by my companions. That was the birth of Haven. People who were oppressed fled to my kingdom. I accepted anyone and everyone. Haven's population skyrocketed to the top of continent in a matter of 3 years. Naturally, fear followed our lordship's rise to power. The surrounding lordships declared war on us with the claim they were freeing their people. In other words, taking back their slaves. A year later, Haven had successfully absorbed the three lordships, making it the dominant power on the continent. Another year after that, I had decided to unite the people of the world in an attempt to bring a cessation to the endless fighting. Now that I think back on it, I was likely blinded by my own hubris. That would lead to another 10 years on the battlefield, and my eventual betrayal. Nonetheless, it was my path. Shaking the thoughts from my head, I focused back on the path in front of me. The procession continued on until the sun started to set. The undead were about a kilometer behind us. That allowed me to kill anything or anyone that might warn the villages and towns ahead about the marching undead army.
My life sight and Helena's ability to sense heat and blood allowed us to track just about everything in a kilometer radius. Not to mention Alessa was going around. Walls, Helena commented after a few hours of silence. Indeed, a fortified town lay in our path. What's the name of the town? I asked. She snorted. Does it matter? I suppose it doesn't. As I left, a red-armored body dropped from the trees nearby. Alessa, I was wondering if you were going to come back today.
Was catching monsters and got carried away. My familia is positioned around the town. I figured you were going to crush it.
I would have raised an eyebrow at her bloodthirstiness, but right now it was needed. If we showed even a little weakness, we would fall just like every other army of darkness before us. I would know, as I defeated a few in my time. Good. I'll send out the divisions and surround it. Can't have any rats getting away to warn their capital of the impending threat. Not yet, at least. Sometimes a little panic helps sow the seeds of chaos when an army is invading. With a mental command, the undead army moved forward, first catching up with us, then moving past us toward the walled town. Once they were largely in position, I drew Promise Bringer and pointed it at the sky above the town. I murmured a brief chant, and a magic circle expanded over their town. Then seemingly nothing happened. Of course, that was what it was supposed to do. It blocked any sort of magical sending. A few priests had probably just gotten a nasty headache from their prayers rebounding on them. If only it stopped them from using holy magic as well. Time for a little ma'am? I asked, looking at the two girls. They both showed off their fangs before turning into shadows and shooting into the night. Looking at the city, I contemplated how to start the night off. Aiming Promise at the closest gate, I focused my mana and used Battering Ram. A sphere of magical energy formed in front of my sword before it exploded toward the gate. In a matter of seconds, it slammed into the wooden gate and turned the structure, along with the surrounding walls, into splintered wood. In total, I must have removed about 50 meters of the wall with a single spell. Maybe a bit too much for a wooden wall, I mumbled with a shrug. Adjusting my aim, I began sending fireballs into the town. As Alessa had once experienced, my fireballs were much more destructive than a normal sorcerer's. They might as well be small meteors. Whatever my spells hit exploded as the projectiles burst into flames on contact. I continued my one-man artillery barrage into the night as my undead swarmed the town. Living shadows were the only indication of the vampires among our ranks as they hunted. In less than an hour, I was sure most of the living were no more. Looking up at the sky, I cast my thoughts to the gods. I hope you all are enjoying this. With a smirk, I cracked the reins of my mount and moved into the town. Time for some more undead. Alessa. Collapsing buildings rumbled around me. Obreon was showing off his ridiculous side again. Even towns had a small measure of magical protection, and he was blasting through this one with fireballs, not to mention the spell that blocked magical contact outside the town. I had never heard of magic that could do that. It didn't matter, though. I was more interested in the hunt. I wanted to defeat the strong people who had refused to help me or even hunted me in the past. With a burst of shadow, I appeared in the middle of the Adventurers' Guild. They hadn't mobilized yet, even with the screaming of the people around them. "What do we have here?" I asked, looking around at the gathered people. "Probably some of the strongest in the town. Cowards?"
"Look, girl,
We don't get involved in wars between the lords, a heavy-set brute of a man said as he hefted a sizable sword onto his shoulder. I wanted to shake my head at the comment. That showed they hadn't even looked outside to see who was invading, a fact that was going to cost them and all the living in the town dearly. No, you all would rather hunt weak monsters and girls who have been cursed. Rather than wait for their reply, I shot forward and plunged my hand through the large man's chest. Yanking it out, I held the heart over my mouth as I drank the blood that poured out. He stared at me wide-eyed before he collapsed to his back.
Well, I'm a monster. Hunt me.
The two or three dozen people in the guild hall drew their weapons before they rushed me. I concentrated, and my red ice gauntlets grew wicked spikes at the end. I didn't even bother to block some of the attacks. They couldn't hurt me. Bringing my fists around, I punched outward, blowing limbs off with quick strikes. The adventurers that could handle the pressure were only blown back, but in most cases, the receiving party lost a limb. Screams and yells of pain made a nice symphony to the sprays of blood and bone shards. I exerted my mana over the blood in the air and pulled it all into orbs that began floating around me. I felt a fluctuation of mana in the air and quickly brought my arms up in defense. Two fireballs and a blade made from wind slammed into me, the explosion of the three managing to push me back several paces. My red ice gauntlets cracked, showcasing that while their defense wasn't enough to deal me any real damage, it was still a threat if I allowed it to continue. I whipped my head around, my vision instantly locking onto the guilty individuals. I narrowed my eyes while I channeled my mana. The orbs elongated until they were spikes, then streaked through the air to impale the mages. A great sword slamming into my side didn't let me revel in the easy kills. Sailing through the air, I crashed into the wall. I almost made it into the next room. Gripping the edges of the crushed wall, I took in the newest enemy. An older man. He had to be in his 50s or 60s. He held a flaming sword almost as tall as he was.
"I'm not about to let a monster have free rein in my guild."
Pulling myself free from the wall, I stood up and dusted my body off. He'd managed to cut through my ice armor and leave a gash on my waist, but it was already healing. I revealed my fangs with a grin. "This is more like it." Chapter 2. Alessa. Dodging and skirting the attacks as they came, I almost wanted to yawn. Compared to the monsters Obreon and Helena were having me fight lately, these men were weak as shit. I couldn't believe I'd once looked up to them. Looking back now, I found it was mainly because I'd heard adventurers were able to direct their own path in life, something that I had desperately wanted in the past. Now things were different. Now I had almost more power than I knew what to do with, and for now I would be using it on these cowards that hid away in a hall, drinking mead while their fellows died in scores around them. I spun as a broadsword came close to slashing my waist and backhanded the man hard enough to cause his head to explode. Almost unconsciously commanding the blood to flow to my blood orbs, I continued to fight the adventurers. Using the fresh blood, I sent out icicles that impaled four people with ease, nailing them to the wall and eliciting screams from them. "I'm sorry, does that hurt?" I asked with a coo like a mother would a child. The icicles started to grow as they pulled the fresh blood from the men and women. Soon they were nothing more than dried husks hanging from the wall. In much the same fashion, I quickly killed everyone in the guild hall.
This was far from the top fighting force of the adventurers. The higher ranks were usually kept closer to the capital. That said, these people would still have been revered by the locals and would have been able to handle most monsters in the area. It warmed my heart to know that I could single-handedly take out so many on my own. I finished absorbing all the blood in the building, then made my way back outside. The fight in the guild only lasted about 10 minutes, but the battle for the city was already over. Oberon had burned over half of it down from the looks of it. Jade? Less 10 seconds later, the woman appeared from the shadows next to me.
Yes, mistress?
How did the girls do?
Excellent. They all managed to secure a few kills of their own. I believe that most of them gained at least one level.
I nodded and looked at the vampire archer. And you?
I failed to secure a level, but killed a total of 49 mortals.
I see. There's always next time. Round up as many of the living as you can before the undead get to them. We'll make them our food source for the next couple of days.
Understood. She sent out a mental order to all the other vampires and quickly darted into the night. I looked around at the burning city. It might have been a nice place before tonight, but now the undead were wandering the streets. In the distance, I could hear the faint screams of people still alive who were likely trying to run for their lives. The town might have had between 10,000 and 20,000 people, but most were going to be undead in a few hours. Most people might feel pity for them, but for me there was just a burning hatred. It had been there since my mother was taken from me, but I had been able to ignore it as a mortal. As a vampire, well, I was told to embrace all my emotions by Helena. Often I didn't even feel like trying to fight it. I frankly didn't see the point. A shriek went up nearby, and several of Oberon's banshees flew through the air, chasing mortals. I just shook my head. No mortals were going to be able to hide away until this horror passed in the morning. Oberon would do his best to flush every single one of them out. Deciding I had watched long enough, I leaped to the next building and started back to Oberon. My girls would be able to grab enough mortals to sustain us for a few weeks. I had dealt with the adventurers. Thus, my part in this battle was over for now. As I was making my way back to the hillside that Oberon was using as his command site, a blast of holy light went up from the center of town. There, a barrier formed that would likely keep even me out, and I was immune to daylight. I skidded to a stop on the roof as I debated what to do. I knew Oberon would have seen this and was likely going to handle it. Before I even had a chance to think about what to do, another circle of light appeared over the barrier. This was sorcerer magic, though, as the mana felt different even from here. The next moment, there was a blast as the church that was creating the barrier was reduced to a crater. Fire rained down like it was the end of the world. "There he goes again, overdoing it," I mumbled as I left the scene and finished making my way back to the others. Oberon. "Ah, that felt good," I said, stretching. I was quite enjoying watching the world burn lately. Some people might wonder how I would enjoy ruling over a smoldering wasteland if I managed to capture the world. My reply would be that undead didn't care what the world looked like. "I suppose you didn't want to capture any of them," Helena asked, leaning her head into her hand like she was exasperated.
"Why? We don't need anything from them. Alessa has already ordered her vampires to collect their lunch for the next couple of days. Religious types are annoying to break on the road. Now, best to just remove them for our sight, especially when they paint such a big target on their backs like that," I retorted, waving her question off like a fly.
I leaned forward in the chair made from skeletons as the battle came to an end. The fleeing mortals were being hunted by either vampires or undead. Members of the church, rather than working to secure as many people as they could while escaping, had barricaded themselves in their hallowed halls. It might have prevented normal undead from getting close. But for me, well, it was just an eyesore. Tactical magic easily took care of it. There was a pop from the shadows some time later, and Alessa appeared. She looked like she'd just had a nice workout rather than been slaughtering people down in the city. Aubrey and I took care of the Adventurers Guild. There wasn't anyone of significance. I grinned and stood up. The chair broke apart, and three undead skeletons got up and joined the ranks. I see. Good work. The battle is mostly over, and one of yours reported that you ordered them to round up their meals for the next couple of weeks. She grimaced, almost causing me to chuckle at her expression. The blood crystals are nice, but lacking in the flavor department. I patted her shoulder in understanding. I have no doubt it's like comparing a freshly cooked meal with field rations. We descended the hill and made our way into the town. As we went, I raised the bodies into fresh undead, the corpse poison that all undead have, and eventually becomes miasma would have raised them normally. However, I was restricting that power in my undead for places like this. The undead that were created by my undead were still more powerful than those created by the ambient miasma. But there were negative returns. For the best results, it was paramount that I created them myself. How many do you estimate you will be able to add? Helena asked from next to me. I tapped my chin in thought before I answered. Judging from the residual life force, I guess around 5,000 that will be in good shape. The rest of the dead will have to become weapons and armor. Not bad. That's the terrifying thing about undead. Even a farmer can become a warrior. I shook my head. While anyone can become an undead, there is still a difference between a farmer and a warrior. Speaking of undead, where is your harem? I laughed at that. There were three special undead among my ranks who happened to all be female. The Calamity icon Exeria, a lich by the name of Falaria, and the Wraith Unio, the priestess I had corrupted while in the city. The three were more or less my royal guard, though Falaria was with Ted in the rear, researching undead. The other two were in the shadows nearby. I had already learned of several powers that could deal with me if they wanted, one of which was likely reeling from the blow back from the battle at Fallen Haven. With that battle, we dealt a rather large blow to the goddess Yune. Because of her having used her avatar in battle, her holy might would be weakened for several months. Gods were powerful, but there were rules even back in my day. I had a hard time believing that it was any less of a challenge to manifest in the material plane. Well, they're around. I waved for some of the undead I had poured mana into to transform into generals. Collect everything of value and that might speed the development of Fallen Haven. Leave a contingent of 1,000 undead here to establish a fortress. As you command, replied a sinister voice that was as far from human as one could get. I waved them off and moved over to the town hall. Part of it was collapsed, but the rest was in decent enough shape. Hopping down from my mount, I strode inside and made my way to the center room, from which a blue glow was creeping. In the center of the room, a blue crystal, much like the one embedded in my chest, floated in the air, emitting the glow. I placed my hand on the magical object and exerted my will on it. Soon there was a snap in my mind as the crystal was claimed. I used some of the mana to summon the imp that would be the crystal holder's assistant. A swirl whisked through the room before an ugly creature with blue skin appeared. He had several rashes and boils that looked overtly painful. Even though he wore a suit much like Zerk, most of his elegance was lost due to the rest of the image.
"What is your name, imp?"
The imp bowed nervously.
"Garuk, my master. Should I expect you to retain any loyalty to your old masters?"
Hostility formed in his eyes, but I could tell it wasn't directed at me.
"I would never dream of helping those that treated me no better than a slave. Should you be kinder to old Garuk, this one will be a willing servant."
I nodded my acceptance before I turned to leave. I would give one of the generals control and orders about the city before we left. I was about to leave the room when I paused. "This will become a city of the dead, evil and darkness," I said with a grin. "I hope that doesn't bother you."
Garuk bowed again. "As long as it is a city."
I tapped my chin and laughed as I made my way out. The city cores always had interesting priorities.
Chapter 3. Obrion. Losing this town would be a nasty blow to the Kalia lordship. A mortal army needs more than an undead one, mainly in the form of food. There was only so much that an area could provide through hunting to a marching army. With each town we took, Fallen Haven's reach grew longer and safer. "My familia says the Ferenz lordship is still dealing with the aftermath of our visit. Both Fiden and Ethria lordships are overwhelmed with refugees, causing food shortages in both. Your closest neighbor, Kalia, is marshaling what forces it can, but with a blow from the battle at Fallen Haven, they've already lost a considerable number of their men."
"Thank you, Helena. What about these Harzi and Ferenhai High lordships to the south? Both were a good deal south of Fallen Haven, but Harzi was still close enough to be trouble if they decided to answer any calls for aid. The desert was only a barrier to a certain extent."
"Due to misinformation being spread, both believe that the lordships are simply fighting among themselves, not to mention..." Helena glanced at me with a snicker on her lips. "The Golden Throne did quite a number on Ferenhai as it passed through its lands. If it had come on land a few kilometers to the west, it would have been directly over their capital."
"I see. A pity, but one we can fix later. Once I have mercy, I can go to a few battlefields from the past and make an army of undead that will force the world to its knees."
"Any word from my mother?" Alessa asked while wringing her hands. "We are keeping an eye on her, but we've not intercepted anything that indicates she's given out any information about us. I really cannot understand what her objective is," Helena replied with a shake of her head. I reached out and placed a hand on Alessa's head.
"For now, we know that she is moving in the direction of our living family. We'll let her do all the hard work of tracking them down while we solidify our position here."
"If you say so." Turning back to the briefing, I looked over the generals. I'd made four of them so far, as they required a fair amount of time and mana investment.
"We move out in the morning. I want riders moving ahead of us from now on, at least 50 to a group. It will be more noticeable, but it will also allow the force to deal with most anything they might find on the road. Annihilate everything that might be able to report back."
"Do you want my daywalkers in the group?" Alessa inquired, pulling my gaze back to her. I looked over to Helena, who was in charge of training Alessa for most things outside of magic. She gave me a nod. "If your teacher thinks it will be fine, then I have nothing to add. With the magic I've pounded into you, you should be fine unless something vampire-related happens."
Don't worry, O'Brien. I have a good idea of my limits and abilities.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?